This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 252, where today we talk to Vesa Juvonen about SharePoint development and some of the updates from the Build Conference in 2018, recorded live Wednesday, May the 9th, 2018.
Are you being asked repeatedly to integrate different business systems in ever narrower timeframes and with increasing process complexity? What if you could standardize the way you build these business processes so your team are focusing on higher value tasks versus the nuts and bolts of running the processes and integrations? Nintex can make it happen. With a Nintex platform, workflows from person to person, system to system, to the cloud and back. Got a custom system you want to connect with? No code extensions let you plug into systems simply and easily using REST and Swagger. With Nintex, work just flows, so your teams can work smarter, work faster, and be more connected than ever. Try it out free for 30 days at www.nintex.com/try-NWC.
Hey everybody, it's Andrew again, and you've stuck with me just for the intro while CJ is going to handle our interview. This is our second of our build-related sessions or episodes that we are doing this week covering the Build Conference. Today, CJ had a chance to sit down with Vesa Juvonen from Microsoft, who is responsible for a lot of stuff for Microsoft. He handles a lot of the Office 365 and SharePoint development story. Also is kind of the brainchild and the spearhead behind all the patterns and practices stuff, and is really just a mainstay in the SharePoint space. For longtime listeners and people in the SharePoint space, I'm sure know the name, or at least should be familiar with the name. But today what CJ did is he sat down with Vesa at the Build Conference out in Seattle, and he talked about a lot of the new stuff that was being announced for developers around the SharePoint space at Build. Some things were related to SharePoint, some SharePoint framework stuff, and a look ahead to the SharePoint conference that we're going to have in Las Vegas later in May of this month. CJ and Vesa sat down. They talked about what's new with Microsoft Teams integration with SharePoint, some deployment stuff, some new APIs, new portal templates, and a whole lot more. We're going to catch up with Vesa as well at the SharePoint conference and talk a lot more about some of the dev stuff that's going on. But at least we got a good preview of the stuff that we're going to see in a few weeks and all the stuff that they were announcing at Build this week. So sit back and enjoy the show.
A 99.9% SLA means you're protected from power outages, bad patches, natural disasters, and maybe even a dinosaur attack. Does it protect you from yourself, though? AvePoint Backup for SharePoint Online provides full fidelity backup and recovery, from individual items to entire sites. AvePoint can run backups up to 4 times a day to ensure your data is secure. Recover anytime you want without having to pick up the phone and schedule restore windows. Learn why AvePoint is the Microsoft Cloud expert at www.avpoint.com.
All right, I'm here with Vesa Juvonen from Microsoft. Welcome back to the show, Vesa.
Thank you. Thanks to see you, Jane. Thanks for having me.
It's been a little while since we've spoken to you on the show,
so
thank you very much for coming back and chatting with me.
Well, you can't have the same guy all the time, so that's fair.
Well, you're very polite coming back.
So. All good.
We appreciate it.
Yeah. As long as there's no curveballs this time. So
yeah, okay. I promise not to be too mean anyway, but feel free to just tell me to bugger off of that. It's what you need to do as well.
Fair point.
I mean, you do have a SharePoint conference coming up, so I'm almost expecting every second answer to be, well, wait till the SharePoint conference, we'll have more to say on that.
Well, for some of the things, absolutely. But on the other hand, it's Build, so I represent the Splat team or the development team. So We do announce stuff in the Build as well, because some of the developers are here, some of the SharePoint developers are in SBC, so it's kind of a delicate balance. So
yeah.
I'm sure when I think about SharePoint development, there's always the native, let's say, platform-level development, which I represent from a SharePoint framework team. But then there's also the development side, which is like site designs and site scripts and all of that, which is kind of development as well. So,
yeah, gotcha. Excellent. So what are you up to at Build?
A few sessions, podcast recordings, and and booth duty. So in Build, so I have personally 2 sessions. So I did today is Wednesday, most likely.
Yep. I think it's Wednesday.
Yeah. It's been pretty crazy weeks recently. So yesterday I did a session on the latest on SharePoint development stories, and which was more on the SharePoint portal thinking.
Mm-hmm.
To be fair, that's where we are more and more positioning SharePoint, because obviously Microsoft Teams is one collaboration channel.
Sure.
And then the SharePoint is for certainly still a team collaboration platform for files and storage and everything else, but also for portal platform. And there's a lot of investments on that side as well.
Yeah, I mean, definitely the last 12 months we've seen a lot with with new site designs and new capabilities with pages and all those goodies. So lots of new goodness, mostly in SharePoint Online, I think, still, but we'll get to that in a second. So, yeah, so Build is obviously all devs, right? And we have quite a lot of devs that listen to the show, and we're actually a real mixture, actually. It's sort of a 50-50 split between lots of infra people with cloudy Azure goodness.
Yep.
But AC and I focus a bunch on development just because, you know, we pretend to be developers. Yep. and all of that. So,
yes.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess there's been a lot of progress over the last few months. So before we dive into some of the news and announcements for Build and things that we've got to look forward to, we should go through a few of the great things and good progress that have been made over the last wee while, specifically as it relates to SharePoint, because, you know, we've been in this game a little while, and the dev situation of SharePoint has changed and evolved a lot.
Yes, and
so what do you think some of the highlights have been, you know, two or three kind of highlights over the last, I guess, quarter or 6 months or so that you really feel have punted the SharePoint dev ball down the field quite a way?
So, well, obviously the big thing for us for the last 1.5 years or 2 years or whatever has been the SharePoint framework, and that's where we're heading. And sure, when we talk about SharePoint, it does take a while for people to adapt. Mm-hmm. And no doubt, we've been talking about this with CJ and AC and many others, that is it a new adding model or a customization model, or isn't it a new model? And certainly it is a new model. And there's no way for denying that. So, but the adaption has been tremendous. The usage is third-party SharePoint framework usage is tremendous. It's being used on the modern, it's being used on the classic pages, which is brilliant as well. And then in Ignite, we announced quite a few kind of cool things to be available, like the ALM APIs, which is not only for SharePoint framework, but the whole automation of you're able to deploy add-ins or SharePoint framework solutions to your tenant and then deploy those to be on specific site collections. So you can have this end-to-end, well, it's kind of for DevOps as well, but also for deployments and all of that. So you don't have to have the human person clicking through and installing stuff.
Yeah, I think that'll really help, right, with especially what we're seeing with tools like VSTS
for
continuous integration and deployment and things like that, being able to programmatically, very prescriptive and repeatable manner, pushing your solutions out. I think that was a really important step forward. And then one of the things, just from a personal point of view with the ALM APIs, we're an ISV and we're off building some SPFX stuff.
Yep.
And so ALM APIs, for us being able to help a customer install our solutions is a really big deal. Like ultimately, I want to get to a button in our management portal that the customer can use to say, you know, install the Hyperfish web parts and stuff in my tenant, and they don't have to go around trying to find, you know, find where the app catalog is and upload things and then deploy stuff and activate things. And just being able to do it all in a prescriptive API-based manner is really nice.
Yes, absolutely. And that's one of the areas where the ALM APIs are absolutely helping you. And to be fair, I'm going to do a small jump on that one because that really relates on the end-to-end provisioning on the tenants and everything else, which is then certainly an area where there has been a lot of investment from us as well on the community side. So the PMP provisioning and making sure that the native APIs exist and then having a end-to-end is a way for configuring tenants throughout and all of that. So certainly one area which is not in the product natively, potentially, well, we're growing that side of the story as well in the product, but on the community side of the story as the PMP provisioning engine, a lot of investments on that as well.
Yeah, all the hooks and things that developers need or the community needs to be able to go build really
automation.
Interesting, cool automation and things like that. That's really nice
absolutely.
To see.
Absolutely.
Very cool. So another one that I noticed that we've seen is around packaging of solutions and deployment of those solutions. So SPFX, for those of our listeners who are moderately familiar with it, right, there's a set of assets that go into a package and get deployed. And to date, when you go deploy an SPFX package, there's a manifest file in there and there's a set of assets that are in there, like the JavaScript files that are sort of transpiled down from TypeScript and all that sort of stuff. And so now those can go in the package, right, and get deployed as part of the package, and then SharePoint Online takes care of splitting that up and hosting it for you.
And that's for me, that's something which potentially we didn't do a good job of landing this message, because I think this is groundbreaking. This is absolutely
really helpful
for developers, because in the past, before the asset packaging was available, you needed to figure out what is the CDN where I'm hosting my JavaScript files.
Yep.
And then it comes down on the, all of the additional admin governance discussion. How can you guarantee that CDN? And how can what if somebody goes to that CDN and modifies stuff?
Mm-hmm.
That's all gone if you don't want to do that. That's optional still. You can do that if you want to do that. But you can include all of the JavaScripts and image assets and whatever assets you have inside of the S3PKJ file. When that's getting deployed to the App Catalog, we'll host it for you.
Mm.
So it's going to be either secured, securely hosted inside of the App Catalog site collection. Automatically, you don't have to worry about URLs or anything. You don't modify those. Or if you have an Office 365 CDN enabled, you actually get benefits of the CDN automatically without any costs or anything.
Yeah.
And no URL changes, no nothing. You don't need to worry about that.
Yeah, it's really nice. I actually tried it out and I was pleasantly surprised, I've got to say. Like, it just worked. It was really good.
I was closely involved of making that thing happen. So
yeah, I guess there's from my perspective with that, there's some pros and cons of that, right? It's really easy and you can go deploy stuff and have it hosted for you. I'm not going to say auto-hosted or anything like that because, you know, that might
be confusing.
It has connotations.
Yeah.
But it's put somewhere that's available for... it's put somewhere that's available for the solution to run without having to worry about where it's hosted. I guess that the cons of it, though, are it's kind of a... It's put somewhere that as the app developer or the ISV in our case, you sort of lose a little bit of visibility and control of that, right? So you got to balance that about... And every bone in my ISV body wants to say...
But I want to configure
but
that.
But I want to hold on to it because then I can update it more easily and all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
But then on the security side of things, you know, it's if anybody's heard me bang on about this before, right, it really worries me about loading stuff remotely. And so this would get around that problem really nicely.
Exactly. Everything is controlled in the tenant, inside of the tenant, controlled with the agreement with Microsoft hosting that stuff. But like you said, you lose that. There's a lot of people who are then, okay, that's really cool, but how do I modify those default settings? And the answer is no, you can't. The whole point is that it's super simple. We're not exposing those settings.
Now, you've done a ton of stuff with the graph as well in SPFX more recently as well.
Sure.
So do you want to walk our listeners through some of the things that have happened there recently?
So originally, the graph came up with a graph client, I think, back in Ignite, which was a kind of a preview.
Mm-hmm.
And we only exposed certain set of scopes from Microsoft Graph because there's obviously, if we would expose all of the scopes from Microsoft Graph for what the end user has behind of the end user, the JavaScript could access all of the data.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually quite a lot of data you can access through Graph nowadays, and with all of the new announcements in build as well, so there's massive amount of APIs. So we first initially decided that we'll only give you a certain set of scopes. Well, the obvious conclusion of follow-up is that then the community and customers and ISV started complaining that, well,
that scope
is missing. I need to have that.
Sure.
And then it's like, okay, well, this is a scalable model that you'll yell and then we'll add a scope. So we need to figure out alternative ways of doing this. And this is where we then came up with this model where we actually give you the full power of request whatever scopes in your solution as a developer. So as a developer, there's two paths on this discussion. So one path is that as a developer in your solution, you know what scopes you need.
Mm-hmm.
When you install the solution to the App Catalog, the scopes which are being defined inside of the solution manifest, solution packets file, are being then exposed for the tenant administrator. So basically, tenant administrator being said that, well, this solution contains additional permissions which are not being exposed. You need to make a decision, do you expose those or not?
Sure.
And then the tenant administrator will go and explicitly say that this scope will be available for SharePoint framework solutions to take advantage.
Yeah, gotcha, gotcha.
So we want to have that centralized control. So it's either by the solution containing those scopes and then administrator granting or denying, or then the administrator can go and say, well, in our tenant, we allow this set of scopes and nothing more than that, and that's it. And your solutions need to follow up on that one. But we need to provide that centralized control because we're talking about the enterprise hosting, and SharePoint is different than a single-page application. Single-page application, it's your application. It's it's application for the scope. In SharePoint, you might have a one page with multiple ISV web parts on a single page.
Sure.
So we need to be adding this additional control.
Yeah, and I don't want a weather web part using mail.send, for example.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Because you know, I go to the page, I don't want mail to be sent to my inbox anyway.
Yeah. Of course, you want to have a email related on the weather. So, weather today in Seattle. Well,
that's right. Rainy.
Yes. Thank you.
No surprises there.
Yes.
So I guess I've noticed there's some UI that helps admins consent to these scopes that when they're added. And then also see, if I'm not mistaken, see a list of things that have been previously consented, all within the, is it the new SharePoint administration center that stuff's showing up in?
It's in the, I think it's still in preview. I don't know if within a few weeks in the SBC, depending on whenever this is getting aired.
Sure, yeah.
Is this going to be announced not to be in preview, but technically the new admin is still in preview.
Yeah.
On the other hand, there was no point for us to actually implement a classic UI for handling these permissions and then a new UI because new stuff goes to the new UI.
That makes sense.
So you're able to go to this one admin UI, you're able to see what are the currently granted permissions for SharePoint Framework solutions. And not only just Craft, because this actually goes bigger than Craft, because if you have a third-party web API, let's say an Azure function or whatever, you want to secure that call from your SharePoint Framework solution, you'll use the exact same tooling.
I see.
So you define the resource and then the scope, and then you request the permission and the approval, and the tenant administrator can then approve or deny that.
Yeah, gotcha. So that could be your own API.
Exactly.
As well, right?
So for me, that's the holy grail, and I said this so many times in the community calls and everything, that's the holy grail of the SharePoint Framework development or SharePoint development. Being able to have a secure JavaScript in SharePoint Online, which is able to securely call a web API or Azure function in Azure, which is hosted in Azure. Because what happens behind of the web API is all of the goodies
then
in Azure.
Go do whatever you want.
Mind-blowing, exactly. Yeah. It opens up all of these scenarios in a secured way.
Yeah, I mean, that's, we're doing that with our own SPFX at Hyperfish. We're doing that with our own SPFX components, and most of the goodies are off behind an API, and the SPFX pieces are, you know, we really needed to just be able to call our API, pull and push data, and then display it, right? And,
exactly.
And we've built the majority of all the backend stuff already, and so we just need to figure out how to talk between the two. So this stuff's really good. So that's a little bit about what's happening. That's a ton of different things that have been moving forward. That's really exciting.
Yep.
And I imagine as we move towards SPC, we're going to see a whole bunch of new stuff too. So So sort of looking forward, what are kinds of things that you're talking about at Build that you're talking about now, I guess, being a dev show before SPC? We only actually have to wait only a few weeks, so
that's true.
It's kind of nice, not having to wait too long for the big show, so for SharePoint. But what are the kinds of things at Build that you guys are talking about this week? We've seen some stuff in the keynote around SharePoint and Teams, for example.
Yes, the SharePoint and Teams integration obviously is big for us. We're pushing heavily the Teams usage, and Teams is a great client and a product as well. And then we want to make sure that you are, as a developer, or first of all, there's the, let's say, hosting SharePoint pages in Teams, which is one of the native out-of-the-box pretty much in quotes out-of-the-box capabilities, so you don't actually have to do anything else. But then from a development side of the story, we want to move to a model where you can implement your solution in the SharePoint framework, having all of the goodies of SharePoint framework, but then your solution is being exposed using two different channels automatically. The one channel being a web part, the other channel being a tab in the Microsoft Teams.
Gotcha.
So we're looking into adding that additional intelligence for Teams to automatically go to the app catalog and ask from app catalog that, hey, so do you have any customizations which we could actually expose as a Teams tab? And if answer is yes, then when you go to add a tab functionality in a Teams, it will automatically expose those.
Gotcha. I guess it's kind of like add-ins with Office clients, right? Where, you know, if you've got privately deployed inside your organization add-ins for the Office client applications, Office go find those and use them too.
Yep.
And the same thing would go for Teams.
Yeah.
That's really nice. So as a developer, I would go build, you know, part of your application might want to surface inside Teams, right?
Yep.
Where there's a client running on people's desktops or what have you. And so it helps them not have to switch context between a browser and the client.
Correct.
And then I guess, you know, certain components you could surface in Teams, and then certain components you could expose as web parts and extensions and all that sort of stuff in SharePoint through the browser.
And I think the whole story makes more sense if you're stuck in the web part being exposing data from SharePoint from a SharePoint list, then it's like, okay, fine, that's one way of doing that. So sure, you could have a Teams tab which is exposing data from SharePoint. But I think the story actually makes more sense if you add the Craft endpoint or the custom web API endpoint, you have data somewhere in your LOB system, you want to expose your latest sales in both SharePoint Online and in Teams as easy as possible for your end user, depending on whatever the channel they want to use. For that, the story makes perfect sense. You as a developer, you implement the whole thing once as a single code base. You don't have to worry about where it's being exposed, and voila, it works in both sites.
Yeah, that's really nice. I hope Teams does... This is not really a topic for conversation amongst us, because you know, it's more of a...
I can add some notes to myself and let them know, so okay.
I hope Teams exposes a sort of concept of something outside of a team, more like an organizational team. Does that make sense? So that, like, and I'm sure if you go ask marketing folks, they'll say, well, the outer loop stuff is Yammer and all that. But like, but what I love is an organization team in Teams, so that when I go into that organization team, I can see my intranet.
Yeah.
Like, because then Teams is kind of like the app that you go to chat to people, to go browse your intranet, which would obviously be off in SharePoint, to go collaborate in a team, get access to documents, all those sort of things that, you know, it sort of centralizes where things go. And we use Slack quite a lot. And one thing that's really perplexed me is there's no concept of an intranet in Slack. And it just seems like completely mind-blowing to me that something as simple as that isn't in there.
True.
And unless I'm mistaken, I'm missing something, it's not.
But
I hope teams go that route, and I hope that you can go build that intranet and it's hosted in SharePoint and runs in SharePoint, but is a, you know, Teams
one
is a good
option
client
is
for
exposing
it.
That from Teams.
Yeah, that'd be really nice.
And that's where we're hitting with the development model as well. I think this is really fundamental change in the thinking of Office 365 as well, because, well, CJ, you've been inside of the Microsoft as well. It's been a while, though.
Yeah.
but you know that there's a isolation between the organizations. So
the
fact that we're now starting to consolidate development models between services and products is actually pretty mind-blowing.
Yeah, that's really nice.
And it makes sense, because from an external developer perspective, it's like, well, that's a no-brainer. Of course, you're Microsoft. You should be doing that.
Yeah, I mean, as a developer, what I really want to be able to do, right, is I want to be able to build one solution that's packaged once, that has components that go live in different places, right?
Yep.
A bunch of the main solution can live in SharePoint. I might have some add-ins that surface in Office.
Yep.
I might go add some components that surface in Teams, for example, and that I can package them all up nicely and deploy them once.
Yep.
I was going to ask the cheeky question. It's like, cool, so now I've got to go build an add-in package, an SPFX package, and now and a Teams package as well. You guys working on kind of rationalizing the model?
Absolutely. So the Teams people did announce their enterprise app catalog, their specific enterprise app catalog for Teams in the build on Monday. So day before yesterday.
Yep.
Completely lost on the date.
Deploy private solutions
Teams, which is completely understandable. But now, in the long run, in the long game, we're looking into having a centralized enterprise app catalog or enterprise storage. It might be in a short time frame. It's going to be just that the Teams will connect to your SharePoint app catalog and also check from there if there's any Teams application on top of what was announced on Monday.
Gotcha.
But there is absolutely idea is that you don't have to worry about where, if you have a solution which is exposed in multiple services, you deploy that to a single app catalog in your enterprise, because that does make sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, oh, definitely. Definitely.
And actually, we do try to figure out what makes sense and implement that based on the customers, even though every now and then it doesn't seem like that. So
it might seem a little crazy from time to time, but eventually things work
those
out.
Those people... No, never mind. We're trying.
So you said the word storage before.
Yeah.
There's another word inside storage called store.
Yes.
So are we going to see SPFX stuff come to the store?
Was this the curveball?
I'm saving a special question.
We didn't
for
talk
you,
about
Vesa.
This one before. Yeah. All good.
So. I guess. So for one of the things that's missing from SPFX right now is you got to go sideload things,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
Which is great for private enterprise solutions and all that sort of stuff. And we've seen a lot of movement with the Office Store in particular around with
additional telemetry
and telemetry and all that sort of stuff. So I guess it would seem only natural that
absolutely
you'd be able to go stick these things
absolutely
in there too.
It's just a matter of, once again, resources, priorities, everything
timing
else,
and
timing.
Yeah.
So right now, after the asset packaging is fully available, because now the assets are inside of the package as an option for a simple application and widgets, it actually makes more sense to really natively start thinking the app source and delivery of application using the store, whatever it will be then called, way.
I think the store has a bad connotation because of payments and commerce and stuff, but really it's the distribution channel.
I think right now, our let's say, the initial thinking is that potentially we'll move away from taking any cuts on the store for for SharePoint because it's not really in our intention. We want to drive people to be able to easily expose their stuff in SharePoint. That's beneficial, and it's a win-win for everybody. But we'll see where it will be. I would say we definitely will have a more definite answer on that one in build timeframe. Not in SBC, I can already guarantee nobody
Ignite,
can.
Sorry, Ignite timeframe?
Yes, yeah, build.
We're at build, by the way.
That's true. Where am I?
Next build?
Yes. Or this, I need to sleep more, I know.
No, more coffee, more coffee. Yes. Excellent.
But yeah, Ignite timeframe, definitely something to share.
That's really good news about leveraging the power of SPFX and Teams and some of the packaging things that are coming with that. Really, really nice. So what else are you talking about at build?
So coming back from the teams more on the SharePoint perspective, one of the things which I demoed yesterday is the tenant-wide, what did we call it? We have actually decided to call it global deployments for SharePoint framework extensions. Doesn't sound like what does it then mean? But if you're in the SharePoint framework solution, and you know that you're able to implement extensions. Mm-hmm. As an example, it could be a header or footer in a page, a widget, footer, a widget in a page. And one of the challenges what we've been having in the past is that how do I make sure that across all of my site collection, my custom footer would be exposed?
Gotcha.
And this is addressing that. So you will have a centralized control, either automatically from your solution packets or from an app catalog, to say that this particular extension, push it available across all of my site collections, and voila, it will be available. Gotcha. Or you can filter on a site type.
Oh, nice.
Or a list type if it's a command list view commandless, a button to be exposed.
I see. Okay, so, cool. So that will really help with, I've built this solution to make my site look nice. I've got a nice consistent header and footer, and might have links off to other resources in the company and what have you. And then the process of going and getting that out to every site and making sure it shows up.
So in the autumn, I can't remember, potentially in Ignite actually, we announced a tenant-wide deployment. Actually, that was a few weeks before Ignite last year. Tenant-wide deployment of web parts.
Yes.
So basically, you enable the web part to be automatically available in a tenant. And that meant that in a web part picker, the web part is
it was already there.
It's already there. But for extensions, we don't have a picker. So that's what this global deployment option is really for making sure that you're able to automatically push the extensions to be available.
Gotcha. So now you've got a nice, consistent way to push those out, as well as all of the web parts that are sort of standard in the company that you want to be able to make available on every
site. You're able to go and configure those settings and instance and properties and filtering and all of that. All of that's taken into account.
Wow, you're kind of growing up.
Yeah.
It's awesome. No, I don't mean that facetiously. I mean that
you guys are thinking this
through. In really big companies, this might seem like no-brainer to some people, but for some big companies, it's a really big deal, right?
Yeah, it is.
When you're the size of Microsoft, for example, right, and you got 400,000 or 500,000 team sites or whatever it is these days, or SharePoint site collections, whatever it happens to be, that's kind of a big deal, being able to roll out consistent things like this and manage them in a central place, just from sort of enterprise perspective.
CJ's Hyperfish automates the collection of user profile information from users and organizational directories, such as Office 365, SharePoint, Active Directory, and HR systems. The secure service supports on-premises, hybrid, and online environments. Bring your directory to life at hyperfish.com.
AC's Voitanos delivers on-demand video-based training for developers on the latest SharePoint extensibility model from Microsoft in his course, Mastering the SharePoint Framework.
Nice. And so some of the news that we've heard recently, or some murmurings about SharePoint 2019.
Yes.
That's kind of a big deal for some folks.
So absolutely.
What are we going to expect there?
Yeah, it's the realities of life is that there's still a lot of customers and partners who are still in on-premises to do whatever reasons, and that's their choice. That's one of the promises what we're providing as a Microsoft. You can choose to be in on-premises or in cloud, and cloud moves faster forward because we control the back end of cloud. We do not obviously control back end of your servers because...
Yet. I'm only kidding.
Don't even...
I don't even start that rumor.
Exactly. So now in SharePoint 2016, Feature Pack 2, we enabled the web parts in classic pages in on-premises, but that's not really sufficient for all of the goodies what we have. So in SBC, within a few weeks, we'll have more details on dates and more details on timings.
Sure.
But we already have announced that SharePoint 2019 is coming.
Yep.
And it will contain the modern experiences.
Very nice.
And if that's true, then It means that there's a modern, you can write extensions and web parts to modern pages and fluent pages and all of that in 2019. And that's super cool.
Yeah, it'll be really nice from a, I imagine a lot of enterprises have multiple farms.
Yep.
Some are on-prem. They also use Office 365 as well. And so things that they're building for one of those environments, much easier to leverage those in other environments as well. So, and have, I mean, even just having the same sort of newer, I don't want to
experience.
I'll say modern,
yes, the modern
looking
like
pages.
Kind of a wrong term in the long run.
Yeah, the new modern pages won't be modern in maybe 5 years' time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
anyway, but a consistent look and feel across those will be really nice. And
yeah,
then from a
absolutely.
Dev's perspective, obviously being able to not have to rebuild your web part or rebuild your extensions or choose alternatives.
Absolutely.
Just for the on-prem pieces would be really nice.
Which is obviously the promise, but let's be also realistic on that one, just setting the scene properly, is that obviously whenever we release the 2019 GA of the SharePoint 2019, it will be the moment of time when we forked the SharePoint Online.
Yep.
So that will match then the SharePoint Framework version, which will be supported.
Marching forward beyond that.
Absolutely.
Yep.
We'll keep on then adding additional supports, but SharePoint Online will always have the latest and greatest support in SharePoint Framework. Because, as an example, people are complaining now that, well, you enabled the SharePoint Framework 1.1 in SharePoint 2016 Feature Pack 2. When will you enable 1.3, 1.4?
Yeah, gotcha.
And answer is actually, we can't. Because starting from 1.3 version of SharePoint Framework, we started supporting extensions.
Right.
Extensions require modern pages.
Yeah, I see.
And modern pages doesn't exist in SharePoint 2016. So
Yeah, but at least, so if the path forward is with modern pages and newer versions of the SharePoint Framework, at least that gives them a roadmap for with SharePoint 2019 to say, cool, you don't have the latest version of SPFX in classic pages in 2016, but in 2019, we've got some avenues for you to go upgrade those pages or move to the new modern page experience and get some of the newer goodies.
Yes.
Not the very latest.
But
much closer.
Exactly.
And let's be frank, those folks that are complaining, we used to have to deal with 3-year release cycles.
Yes. Indeed.
And things are definitely happening a little quicker now, especially obviously in the cloud. But I think if you brought the cloud deployment model to on-prem, there'd be a lot more complaints, let's put it that way.
Oh yeah, because people wouldn't stay up to date on what's actually happening. And catching up on what's all of the new goodies is hard.
Yeah, exactly. So that changes much quicker.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So you must be looking forward to SPC that's coming up in, a couple of weeks now since we're recording this at Build.
Yep.
And obviously going to Vegas, you're probably traveling a bunch to get back and forth between Finland and here.
Yeah, that's true.
Getting sick of that flight, I imagine.
No, that's fine. I'd rather stay at home whenever I can. So
sure.
I don't mind flying back and forth.
So anything in particular you're looking forward to SPC? You've got some sessions there, no doubt. Do you have published sessions you can talk about?
So we do have there's the pre and a workshops. There's a workshop where we have engineering people talking about the latest roadmap, some of the new demos and goodies, and talking about where we're heading. It's, however, slightly problematic because we are overlapping with ACs.
Oh, gotcha, yeah.
The training development for SPFX. So
sure.
I think it's slightly unfair that ended up like that because then that means that people needed to choose, do they go ACs getting started or the mastering SharePoint framework or do they want to be more architectural level or a senior developers and know about the latest what we're talking. Next time we'll figure it out. Early enough.
Well, maybe you'll have people running between the two.
I don't know. That's fine for me. It doesn't really matter that much. But yeah, we'll figure it out for next time. But then on the actual SPC, there's 3 days.
Yeah.
There's quite a lot of sessions actually there. We have plenty of sessions on the SharePoint framework. So there's the latest stuff on the SharePoint framework where we go deep diving on what was announced in Build.
Yep.
So even though we kind of announced and spilled the beans pretty much on
everything.
Just getting
people ready for it, but then
exactly,
you have more details in a couple of weeks.
Deep dive and explain how to get started on stuff in SPC, on the dev stuff. On the other hand, there's a lot of dev stuff like site designs and site scripts, which is getting announced in SPC. Or updates on theming and branding and latest on that one, that's an SPC talk.
Gotcha.
Because that falls more on the feature part of the story.
It's looking like it's going to be a really great show content-wise and things, and that's shaping up pretty nicely.
Absolutely.
Lots of great speakers there, both from Microsoft and the community.
There's a lot of great community speakers there. I have a good session related on which actually we didn't even talk about. So one of the things which we announced in my Build session yesterday, that was on one slide, is that we will come up with a starter kit for modern portals and modern experiences. And that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, what's that all about? That's really interesting.
So that's an open source starter kit, which we've been building together with our PMP core team, the community people, like Elio, Waldeck, Paolo, Irvin, Bert, me, quite a few people. So a lot of smart people building SPFX-based end-to-end solution.
I see.
Which is demonstrating what you can do with modern portals and modern team sites
so
and
sort
modern
of bringing
communication
all
sites.
All of the goodies together
all
and
the
showing
together.
What's possible.
There's like more than 15 web parts, five extensions, site designs, site scripts, and Irvin Van Hoonen, who's the automation genius, he's currently now finalizing all of the provisioning stuff for that. So he's. We have a basically, when we go to SPC, the target is that we have a PowerShell, which you run, you say that this is my tenant, cj@sharepoint.com. You give the permissions, and that PowerShell will basically automatically provision site collections and settings and everything using the ALM APIs and all of the goodies that we're having.
So I guess that's...
So it's a demo environment.
Yeah, I see. So it sounds like a great starting point for, I guess, from all sorts
anybody.
Of different people, right?
Exactly.
It's folks wanting to see how the stuff works in practice.
Yeah.
All of the deployment side of things, like how do I deploy my things and all that. But then also, is it designed to be a solution that businesses can sort of lift and start using in production?
Well, of course they can. It's under MIT license. The main idea is that, well, obviously it's an open source. So we're not really, as a Microsoft, we are not supporting if there's an issue related on that.
Yeah,
so
I can't call, log a case for it or what have you.
You can't send an email for me, or you can send an email, but I'm not guaranteeing I've got a reply on that. Dear Vesa.
Actually, your oof right now is really funny. Was it a 419 or 417 or something out of resources or something?
Yeah, that's been a...
Something like that.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Or I think it was it has been a throttling message at some point.
It's throttled.
Yes.
I like it. Sorry, so back to the templates.
So on the templates. But it's meant to be for customers to learn what you can do and to see what you can do. Also for ISVs to learn how to build that stuff. If you're an ISV, you can pull it down, polish that, take a fork. You don't have to contribute back. Obviously, we'll ask you to contribute back. But you can build new stuff on top of it. And then by Ignite, we're looking into having a random website somewhere where people can go and upload potentially pictures and theme files and say provision.
Ooh, that'd
because
be nice.
Now we get to the model of, hey, I need to do a pre-sales gig tomorrow for a random customer.
I need
as a salesperson,
demo site
I need
branded.
A demo site. And voila, we can actually start moving on that.
Well, that'll be really nice. I think if it doesn't get used in production, that's one thing for customers. But just from a developer's point of view to say, how are the PMP community... It's kind of best practices, really, when it boils down to it. It's like, what's the best way to go use these new ways of doing things with SPFX and whatnot?
And what's possible.
And deployment. Exactly how is that going to work? And go model it based off that for your own solutions, even if you don't use the code itself, right?
Absolutely.
Go see
Absolutely.
How things are done.
And we did the same back in adding model timeframe. There was a BMP partner back. There's a few other kind of scenarios. And we know that a lot of ISVs and a lot of our partners actually took them and then they created their own solution based on that. So, which is win-win. That's precisely what we want to do.
You're not going to say Fab 40, are you?
No, not Fab 40. No. Tripwind.
We're still living that nightmare. Yes.
There will be also plenty of web parts in the package, which you can use as such in your intranet. So that's fair as well.
Yeah, it'll be a great resource. Well, I mean, PMP in general is a great resource. It's taken off in usage and adoption and momentum. So this would be another great asset to that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Hey, Alvesa, thank you very much for joining us again on the show. Much appreciate the time. Talking to us a lot about, you know, what's going on with SharePoint and some of the goodies we'll see this week, obviously at Build. But then also looking forward to things
more
at SPC as well.
Yep.
Yeah, we're going to be doing a series of live shows from the conference. AC will be there, and we'll be doing it from the expo floor. So maybe we'll see you kicking around, and we'll grab a little hook and drag you into one of those shows, and you
That's
can talk, talk a bit more about those announcements then. So
Sounds good.
See you in a few weeks.
Sounds good. Excellent. Thanks for having me.
Cheers.
Did you like this episode? Please tweet about it and drop a 5-star review in iTunes. Word of mouth recommendations are the most effective ways for us to grow the show. We'd really appreciate it. If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as an MP3 or WAV file and provide a link so we can play your question on the show. Our theme music is brought to you by Keith Ritchie. For more information on Keith's music, head to music.kritchie.com. You can subscribe to us in iTunes and Google Play Store by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find show notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. And finally, sign up for our mailing list by heading over to our website and entering your email to interact with us, participate in upcoming interviews, and other cool stuff. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.